Good morning. I'm Laura. I'm one of the elders here at Redemption Church, and I'm glad to be with you all this morning. I'm going to introduce our time of testimonies. Interesting, Martin said, you know, we reflect on when we do events and things like that. How is this fulfilling or part of fulfilling our mission? And so I was thinking about that in relation to the potluck, being part of our mission to have fellowship together and to equip and encourage one another and to love God by glorifying Him in the relationships we have. And the testimony time, that this is an opportunity for equipping. You are being equipped when you share a testimony, when you are practicing sharing that testimony. You are being equipped when you hear testimony, and we are loving God when we speak testimony of the things that He has done. So I invite you to be part of this time. When we are talking about sharing testimonies, we're not saying, okay, come and share your entire life story. We are inviting you to think about a short story, a time when you saw God glorified in some way. It doesn't have to be a story that ends with a happy ending necessarily. The key is that it's not really about you. It's about God and glorifying Him in sharing about the things that He has done, is doing, and that you have faith that He is going to do. We encourage you to keep that in mind when you're sharing. Also to try to keep it maybe like 5 minutes, because we want to hear from as many of you as possible. It can be shorter as well, or longer, you know, we're pretty open, but it's a ballpark. We are going to invite folks who are participating virtually to share first, so that we're not doing too much back and forth. Although those acrobatics, you know, our team is pretty good at that. But all right, does that make sense? Yeah, you're getting ready to share. Okay, and we have a lineup coming already. The online folks have, I think, already been lining up. But more of you, if you want to share and you're like, oh, I didn't say anything yet, that's okay. I think you send a message to Sarah, I believe. And in those in the building, if you would like to tap myself or Chris or Martin on the shoulder, tap one of us on the shoulder and we'll make sure that you get in line. All right. So without further ado, I'm going to pass it on to whoever's first online. We have no one online. So we're going to start in the building. And I already know of at least one person. Oh, who's first?
Hi, everybody online.
Chris says hi. Are you first? Okay, great. No, please. You can, by the way, when you share, if you don't mind introducing your name and kind of how long you've been part of this community, and then jump on in.
Good morning, Redemption.
Good morning.
My name is Patricia. I've been here for a while, and I have a testimony. About 2 months ago, I had a problem back in Mexico. I'm Mexican. My house there that I was renting, the tenant did something illegal. So the police came and took the house and wrapped with a yellow ribbons restriction, right? So at that time, I didn't have any passport to go back, and God was listening my prayers. But of course, I was very worried, because if you go there and try to fix the things, sometimes they ask money, like extortion too, right? And I was like, I don't want to say hopeless, because when you are in Jesus Christ, there's always a hope. And then I came to the Redemption, and the team prayer prayed for me. And at that time, he gave me a prophetic word, like a vision, that the Lord was having a basket and putting the peace inside, like he was in control, right? So when I went out, I was just crying in my car, like, oh God, I need a hug, you know? And later on, I found someone who gave me a hug, and he told me, that's what you asked to the Lord. And I was, wow, thank you, God. I know you're alive, but thank you for reminding me, right? So I still praying, but with more peace, having the know already that he is listening to us all the time, right? So in my birthday, I called to the police, and without any need to go there, or because I couldn't go, and without any need to make an extortion or do something, they gave the house back. So glory to the Lord. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, praise God. God is good. Thank you. We got us kicked off to a good start. I know Sarah Chipperfield has something she wanted to share. Was there anyone else who's like waiting in line? If your palms are getting sweaty, that means you're gonna be in line soon. If you're holding up your hands, I can't see you. So you can just start coming. Oh, is there someone over here? Come on up. Come on down.
Anyway, a couple of weeks ago, my son and daughter-in-law were here, and the next week I shared about a healing with my daughter's middle son on his big toe. It's still healed. He actually gets to see the specialist finally on the 31st, but he knows it's healed. He's doing, like, I mean, he's playing basketball by the hour, and without the big boot they gave him and everything, so he knows it's healed. But my daughter-in-law, who was here, her dad is 91, and he's had, now I'm going to use the wrong medical term, probably a shunt or a stent in his kidney, so that his kidney would drain, and his kidney became very inflamed, and he went to the hospital, and they said, oh, well, that's never going to work again. They did a CT scan. His daughter's a nurse, not the one that was here, another daughter. And she saw the scan, and it was so blocked and so, like, everything around it just said it would never work again. So they said he was going to need a bag for urine for the rest of his life. And we prayed, and I got the people on Wednesday night prayer to pray for Ernie. And guess what? He does not have a bag. Whatever was going on has stopped going on, and his kidney's draining fine. The only thing is, Ernie's not a Christian. And his wife died this year. She was a strong Christian. He's got kids that are strong Christians. So if you think about Ernie, would you please pray for his salvation? Thank you.
Yeah, praise God for healing, and praise him in advance for Ernie getting to know him. Mm-hmm. All right, we have Sarah I coming on up. It's not really down, so. Yeah, you can clap.
Good morning. I just want to thank God for his goodness and his mercy. My brother finished his studies early this year in March. And so on that, like, when I came to Canada, he was like maybe in his second year. And like the exchange rate between my country's currency and like the dollar or euro where he was using, that he was using, was like really high. So many times, it was difficult even to like send money, because like it was just, I don't know. Anyway, so it was like most of the time the responsibility fell on me, kind of, to send him like those urgent, Sarah, please, I need something today. And then I wasn't working many times. So like I didn't know how I was going to get run. One day, I just remember just saying, God, this guy still has about 5 years, and I don't even know what that will look like. But I know that you are the God that has all resources. And I ask you, it was almost like, you know, let's make this covenant that you do everything and I do nothing. Like, just, you know, like, let him never ask me for money and I don't have. And somehow, like, throughout his stay there, like, there are many times he asked and I'll not have money. And I'll be like, God, I'm not his father. I refuse to be his father. You be his father. And somehow, something was always provided. And when he finished, he sent me a message. He was like, I don't know how I'll have made it, like, through this process. And I'll just, like, it was just God. Just give God all the glory. And I just want to give God the glory. The faithful God, the God that is powerful, the God that sees all things and knows how to take care of everything, regardless of our own limitations. I just want to give him all the praise and glory. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Sarah. It's so beautiful to hear about how God is pushing back against evil. He's pushing back against injustice. And thank you all for sharing about how he's doing that, how you've witnessed him doing that, pushing back against the gates of hell. They will not prevail. And we have seen it. All right. Is there anyone? I know Sarah Chipperfield. Do you want to come next? And you with the sweaty palms, that's you, get yourself ready.
Hello, I'm also Sarah. I don't normally share testimony because I feel like I have to have a really big story to share and I don't. But just how God has been working in my life in the last few months. In March, my husband Andy, he put his back out. And this is something that happens every few years, but it was really bad. He was in agony. He was walking with a stick. He couldn't sit down. It took him about an hour to get into a laying down position and about the same to get up in the morning. He'd been to the hospital. They couldn't help him. It was really awful. And then my son Noah, he fractured his wrist. And so I had one person who couldn't move and another one who couldn't sit still. And I was under so much stress. And seeing everybody in pain, and there was nothing that I could do. And I do not ask for help easily. I don't like asking for help. And I got to the end of what I thought I could cope with. And I prayed to God, and I prayed with Barry, and I prayed with my life group. And I said, help me. And it felt like God had just been waiting for me to ask. And as soon as I did, I had an outpouring. I had people bringing me food. I had people taking my kids to after-school activities so that they wouldn't miss out. I knew I was being surrounded by this prayer, and there was no quick, easy fix. Like, Andy didn't just spring out of bed and he was fine, but it helped me be a better support for them, knowing that I had everybody praying for me. And it just really felt as well that if I hadn't have asked, it wouldn't have given the people that helped me the opportunity to be a blessing and to be used by God. And that was really God just calling me out and saying that I'm not helping by struggling and going along by myself. I'm not giving him the opportunity to give glory to him. So that was my testimony.
Yeah, praise God. And let that be an encouragement to you folks and to us to ask one another and allow one another the opportunity, as Sarah said, to be used by God. Praise God. All right, anyone else online or in the building?
I'm just going to get my words. I didn't really plan on sharing. My testimony is around brokenness, I think. This year for me was really, really hard. A lot of really awful things happened, and yeah, there's just a season of like 5 months where I was supporting people really, really strongly, and that took a lot of me to do that, both in the really big highs of my friends' lives and the really big lows of my friends' lives, and discovering that I tend to do that. I tend to give a lot and to support a lot, and then and then I went into a season where people just started dying. My grandpa died. and my cousins are actually here. So and that was really, really hard. And then there's some key people in my life who didn't get it and didn't support me well, and that really broke me to have given and then to have felt like people didn't want or didn't know or couldn't see you to support you. And then, yeah, something that was a long time coming, that brokenness of realizing that there's this fear or lie that I have that, and it kind of was backed up by my experience that, like, when push comes to shove, people won't see me and won't support me or love me. And, yeah, that really broke something in me where I didn't really know anymore how to be friends with people well because I didn't really trust them. And I didn't know how to really function. And, like, a key part of my life was like, off. And I remember just being, like, really disoriented for a long time. And then bad things kept on happening. My uncle died. He lost his battle to cancer. My dad lost his job of 13 years, which was, like, a big part of, like, my family's life. It was, like, 13 years of, like, camp ministry where my sisters and I, like, okay. Yeah, it was really hard. And I remember, yeah, and then just like I work in the film industry and I hadn't booked a job in a long time. So I was poor, still am poor, but yeah, it just felt like I remember telling God, like, I can't take any more punches from you. Like, I just really can't. Yeah, this ends really well. yeah, it's just, I just remember being like, God, I can't take this. I really can't. Oh, thanks. Thank you, Kleenex, for sponsoring this. No, I just remember really being like, there's only been two times in my life where I've really been like, God, I can't do this, and I can't fix this. I'm like, I usually can handle, like, people's pain, and I can usually handle my emotions, and this is, like, the second time in my life, I was like, I really can't. I was like, God, I really am broken, and nothing I can do can fix this, because I have no idea how to land the ship. And I remember that was my prayers, being like, you have to fix me, because I can't be friends with people like I was. I can't, yeah, like, what is my family going to do? Like, what are we going to do? And I went on a trip with some housemates, and I just started to, like, sing a lot more, and I just felt like there was, like, a song that was singing in my heart. And I remember there was one day where, I was just, like, singing, and it just was growing. And then the devil hit me with, like, hey, you're only singing, we were out in this, like, by this beach, so people can see you. And I was like, well, screw you. I'm going to go alone somewhere then, because I was like, I needed to sing. And I was singing, and I was singing Hosanna, and there's a line in there that is, take my heart and make it clean, open up my eyes to the things unseen, and show me how to love like you have loved me. And that line just really hit my heart. Of, like, show me how you have loved me in a season where, yeah, that was really hard, and I broke with Jesus, and I just wept, and it was, like, more than, it was just, like, it was a long, it was a big, big cry, a big old big cry, and I've had moments where I've, like, really felt the Spirit, but I just felt like I was just crying, and something was coming out, and I said one thing to Jesus. I said, Jesus, that was really hard, that season. That was really hard, and that's all I needed to say, and God fixed that, and I walked away from that changed, and had peace, and yeah, I guess I stand here for people who have things where you're like, I can't fix it. There's hope in Jesus that you can. Yeah. So that's my prayer. God, I give you glory.
that you are a God who fixes people. And yeah. And for those who are in a time where they feel like they can't fix, I just pray that you would be a God who fixes them for your glory. And would this be an encouragement to know that, yeah, you're a God who still does that, still does miracles. So thank you, Jesus. Amen.
I think it's appropriate. We just wanted to pray for Jordan and his sister, if you don't mind. You don't have to, but if you're okay. And Jordan's friends, if you guys, anyone who's feeling the need, you're free to come. I know the worship team would love to surround him. And I think it's to honor. I'd like to encourage the sister, if you can. Yeah, we love you also. So, we love the Bruchet family. I think many of you, if you don't know them, they're well known in this community. I'm going to say a prayer, and if anyone else feels the need to pray, they can. Lord, we thank you that you are the healer. And I thank you for just touching Jordan and his sister and the family during this time. And I thank you that, God, you for just ministering to him in a way that no one else can. And I just pray that you continue to do the healing work in this family. And God, there are things maybe even they can't say, there are things, even pains they can't utter. But God, you already know to the depths of their heart what they want, their feeling, and what they want to say. And we just pray that you shower them with your love, and that they will know who you are, and that you are the God of love, and you're the God of comfort. And you're also the God who cries with us when we have no more words to say. The word says that, Jesus, you intercede with us with groans and sounds that cannot even be understood. So we pray that you surround Jordan and his family and his sister, and just surround them with your love and with your power and with your Holy Spirit. And may they know that they are loved by you. And may you, as Sarah was sharing, may a community surround them. And know that, Lord, as he's poured his heart out, that, God, you will just surround him with you. Lord, we do pray and ask this in your mighty name.
Praise God for his image in each of us, and reminding us of that. And I see that we have one more person. Oh boy, you all have been working up the courage. All right. Thanks.
Good morning. My name's Luann, and I always feel like the Holy Spirit's really operating in you when your heart starts to flutter and your arms start to vibrate. So I'm not here because of sweaty palms. I'm here because my heart's pounding. So this morning was really interesting. I was like, it's spring, it's my favorite season. I'm so humbled when I go outside and my garden has regenerated itself, and I'm looking at perennials going, I had nothing to do with that, and God has given me this beautiful garden. And I thought, time to wear something bright, something pink, something yellow, something fun. And I opened up my drawer and my mind was saying, wear something fun. And then I found my t-shirt that I hadn't worn for a long time. And I thought, this is interesting. And I felt like God was saying, no, you just need to wear that to church today. So signs and wonders. So I've had an interesting calling. I feel like God called me to a very interesting ministry that I would never, ever have thought I would be called to. I have someone in my life who struggles with alcohol, And I remember at the beginning of the pandemic when we all heard that the pandemic was here. I remember praying in my kitchen and I felt God was saying, there's two sectors that are going to be hit really hard. The first is the elderly who are isolated. The second is mental health across the board. And I remember that so clearly, God just saying to me, you're going to need to pray in earnest for mental health. Then later that week, I was out and about in my neighborhood. I live in Kitsilano. I've been volunteering for 30 years in Kitsilano. I know a lot of merchants. I volunteered for the schools, for sports, everything. And I walked into one of the stores and I said to this gentleman, I just want to let you know I'm going to pray for your family because you're a small business. You're a family that's going to get hit hard by the pandemic. And he looked at me and he said, Luann, oh, don't you worry about my family. He said, my sales are up by 400%. And you can guess where I was. I was in the Broadway International Wine Store. And I was picking up for Easter because I wanted to buy a nice bottle of wine for my turkey and everything. And I thought, oh my goodness, think about that. And at one point, the entire store was sold out. His stock was entirely gone. And he said, in the history of my store, this has never happened. And this was at the beginning of the pandemic. So then I thought to myself, well, what's that about? That's about people suffering in isolation and self-medicating. And how are they self-medicating? They're turning to alcohol, or they're turning to cannabis, or whatever your substance of choice. So in my personal situation, I was on my knees because our family was hit really hard. We have a small business. We were devastated by the pandemic. We lost a tremendous amount of income. It was devastating. But God also pressed into my heart. One morning, I was on my knees and God said, just get up and go and sit in a meeting for AA. And I thought, God, why do you want me to go there? I'm not an alcoholic. And God said, just go. So I went and I found a meeting in Kitsilano and I sat in that room. And I was kind of shaking a bit and I thought, God, is this the Holy Spirit? Please don't make me get up and talk. And I'm sitting at the back of the room and this gentleman's up the front. And for any of you who's ever come alongside or supported anyone in your family who has struggled with alcohol or addiction, you know that these meetings are set up where people can just voluntarily get up and give their testimony, similar to what we're doing now. And this gentleman says to me, you, the lady at the back, would you come up here? And I went, like, you're talking to me? And he said, yeah, you, the lady, come up here. And so I thought of Moses, and I thought, okay, God, you don't call us to do anything that you haven't equipped us for. And my background's in theater, in the opera. I used to work in the film industry. And so I like public speaking. I love people. So I thought, okay, well, God, you're calling me to do something, but I don't know what I'm going to say. So I just prayed, and I stood in there. There's about 50 people in that room that morning. And I just took a deep breath, and I prayed, and I said to myself, you know, let your will be done, Lord. Let your will be done. And then it came to me, be still and know that I am God. And so I just stood up and I said, hi, my name is Luann, and I love an alcoholic. And all of a sudden, the room got really, really still, and people stopped fidgeting in their pockets and chatting amongst themselves. And they looked at me and I said, I'm here today because I need to understand this disease that has taken over my family's life, that's affected every aspect of my extended family. I've researched this disease for every one alcoholic that you know. There's 6 people that are directly affected every day and live with the effects of alcoholism. They're all trying to fix the alcoholic. They're all trying to help the alcoholic. They're trying to cover for them when they don't get their payments made, if they get evicted from a situation. Everyone that is close to that person is trying to help them. So we, in turn, as the six people that surround the person who's struggling with addiction, are getting ill. We get ill because we're so stressed out. So back to the day in front of the room. So I started to just say, you know, I don't have a problem with my higher power, because in the industry, in AA, they talk about the higher power. So some people come into those rooms and they actually are atheists, or they're very, very angry at God because God has disappointed them. They've been hurt, abused, abandoned, and they're angry at God. And God just gave me this stillness, and he just said, just love them, just love them. So I said, I know a loving God. I know a gracious God. I know a merciful God. And I want you to know that God loves you. And the room is still really quiet, like nobody's talking. And I didn't talk long, and then I went and I sat down. And at the end of the meeting, two gentlemen who had spoken earlier and gave their testimony essentially said they'd been sober for 25 years. And they sought me out. They found me at the end of the meeting and they said, will you come back? And I said, you want me to come back? You know, I'm not an alcoholic. I'm actually married. I'm a mother. I'm caring for someone. They said, no, we want you to come back and talk to us. And I thought, this is about God. God has done this. This has nothing to do with me. And I said, why do you want me to come back? And they said, because you brought hope into this room this morning. And I can guarantee you that 90% of the people that showed up for this AA meeting today weren't thinking about their wives, their husbands, their children. They were thinking about the next drink. They were thinking about the next hit of whatever their drug of choice was. And you talked about God. And I thought, wow, this is an interesting ministry God's called me to. Not in a million years would I think that the skill that God gave me to be an actor and an opera singer and all the things that I was, would he ever put me in a situation where God was glorified? That's my testimony today, and I am so grateful to the love and the mercy and the grace of God.
Thank you, Luann. Oh, praise God. He equips us before we even knew. He equips us to do what he's going to call us to do. All right, so we have gone over time, and we have two more testimonies. We had one, and then Chris was like, could we do two? And I said, okay, two more. So thank you for being part of this. I think it's important that we hear one another. So I know we have Simon, and then we have one more. And if you are like, oh, shoot, but I have a testimony, guess what? You can share at your potluck table. You can also share the next time we do a testimony Sunday. So please, please do keep that testimony and share it. All right, Simon. No, there you are.
Good morning. My name is Simon. And Jordan, thank you for the gift of opening up your vulnerability so I can come up here too. I actually don't have a testimony, but I'm hoping to have one in the future. My palms are a little sweaty, so I thought I should come up here. I've been a Christian for, like a real Christian, as in following Jesus with my life for 5 years, I think. And I think something that has always kind of hindered me was putting myself on the line. And like what I saw, Jordan just being vulnerable, crying, I don't know if I'm there yet. But yeah, that was, I feel like maybe God is waiting for me to go to him to an extent where he wants to pour out, but I'm just not giving him that chance, maybe. So I feel like I'm struggling with finances. Last night, we're just talking about things, and it's not like we don't have enough to eat, but living in Vancouver, it's hard. And last night, I went to a bit of a dark place. Felt like, you know, maybe I did something wrong with my life. Maybe I didn't study hard enough in university. Maybe I picked the wrong career. And I'm going to, I don't know, my life is going to suck. And I'm going to disappoint my wife, disappoint my family. Anyway, so it just got there. And I was worried, when am I going to come out of this funk? But here is me just sharing that I'm struggling. But maybe by saying this, I thought about a couple of Bible verses, paraphrasing, taste and see that the Lord is good. I've heard people come up here and give crazy stories where they trusted God and God provided for them in some way. To me, that sounds really vague and I don't know how it's going to happen, but I want to see that. I know God is good, and I want to see that. And maybe in the future, I will have a testimony. I want to encourage you, if you are struggling with something, I don't know, maybe just be honest. And here is my accountability. Like, if God does something, I have to share now, right? And I didn't... And... Yeah, there's another verse that says, test me in this, that wouldn't I open up the floodgates, something like that. As I was on worship this morning, I thought, God is my safe refuge, that I will be there. I think this point in my Christian journey, I'm just I'm saying these things, that I will trust in God. We'll see what he does. Hopefully, I'm conflicted. If he does something crazy, I don't want to have to share that. But at the same time, I'm feeling like I actually don't know my current situation, how it's going to get better. But yeah, God is good. And so, yeah, I want to trust in him. Thank you.
Thank you. Yes, God is good, and we are believing with you, Simon, and look forward to when he does something, whatever it is, hearing all about it. All right, one more. Come on down.
Thanks, Jordan, for giving me the courage to come up here. Seriously, thank you. And thank you as well to my wife for, I wanted to say something and she like looked at me and she's like, I think you want to say something. And I was like, yeah, but it's going late. She's like, no, I'm going to go tell Martin. And so here I am, my heart going 200 beats per minute, but here goes nothing. This year I graduated university in July. Since September, it's been my first year teaching, and I'm teaching at a Christian school. And I thought it was going to be super exciting to learn how to be a Christian educator. And in fact, it's been the most challenging thing that I've ever encountered. I'm sure a lot of you are aware of like how the reputation that the church has, I don't mean redemption, but like the church has in the world, right? With like pain, atrocities. An Angus Reid study came out saying that I think the majority, like more people believe that the church does more, or Christians do more harm than good. And I, going to a Christian school and teaching these kids about God, have been asking myself, like, I don't know if it's been doubts or it's been like genuine fear or like concerns, but like, am I harming these kids with what I teach them? Am I representing Jesus well? And it's the scariest thing to think of how what's my impact on these kids. And I think I just keep lingering on things that the church has done, and it's been really, really hard to reconcile that with identifying as a Christian. This morning, in a place where I do my safe place, where I do all my deep thinking, the bathtub, I was thinking about this, and I think God was preparing my heart for sharing today. But it was, I think, God just kind of spoke to me, and not like a physical voice, but just some genuine questions in my head of like, Jacob, is this like what I wanted to happen? And it was super easy to answer that no. And it's like, Jacob, do you have a choice to identify with like the church or like, and all of that entails, and I feel like that's where you're getting stuck, but like, do you identify with me in all my future hopes and goals for what Jesus wants to accomplish? And I feel like I stopped breathing for like 10 seconds because I was like stunned by that question, and I feel like there was so much truth in it of, you know, we can't control what happened, and part of our duty is to bring healing, right? Especially in places where Christians have done damage. And that's something that as a Christian educator, I have to own, right? And I go in front of my class and we talk about it. Like, I try not, like, I don't want to shy away from it because I think that'll hurt the kids if we shy away from those things. But yeah, just in the bathtub, 7:30 in the morning, I was like, you know what, Jesus, yeah, I do identify with everything you want to accomplish. So I was really scared, but then, you know, even if one person can benefit from that, I think it's worth sharing.
I just want to pray for, we're done. We're really done. We're really done. Jacob was sharing, and the word that came to mind is Jesus is the Lord's Prayer. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What Jacob shared is a summary of that. So I want to pray for you and everyone else. Lord, we thank you for Jacob's testimony and everyone else's testimony. And we pray that, God, we want to associate with Jesus, with what you wish, what you want to do in our lives, and where you want us to go. We've all fallen short of your glory, and we've all done it, God. But we want your kingdom to come, and your will to be done, and we want to associate with your kingdom. We want to be part of you, Lord. So we thank you, and we pray this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
All right. Okay, I am going to pray to close off this time of testimonies, and then our musical worship team will come back up. All right, I'm just going to pray. Father, praise you. Son, we praise you. Holy Spirit, we praise you. We thank you for the testimony we have heard this morning. We thank you for each one of them, each one of these stories that is not yet complete. We pray a blessing over each one of these folks who shared this morning, that you will continue to show yourself faithful. And God, I ask you that you would protect the hearts of each one who has been vulnerable and shared and opened this morning. We pray for protection against the enemy's lies that might want to sneak in and whisper lies. Replace that with your truth, God. In each one of those who has shared a testimony this morning, we pray protection for them. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of Holy Spirit. Amen.